Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
That's the sound of rock cracking right here. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. We're glad to have you back. New listeners, welcome. We have got some things for you in today's show. The rocks are splitting because it's August. It's the dog days of August. Politics are hotter. Congress is leaving for a five-week recess, and we've got to see what direction the winds blow in this country. And that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. A lot of good shows on Web Talk Radio. Check out the other shows, as we're glad you're listening to Rock Splitting Politics. What do we have on the agenda today? Last week we told you some about Hamas, its history, and in this war over in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Well, we got to dig into that a little bit more. Some of you are upset, got some feedback. We're going to talk some more about Hamas, and we're going to talk more about why the war is going on, where is it going, why don't ceasefires work, and what is the agenda, what's going on. We're going to give you an overall picture that you hadn't heard anywhere else. Does this war affect what's going on in Iran and its allegedly search to make a nuclear weapon? Does the war have anything to do with that? Well, listen to today's show. Very, very much information you need to hear, and you're not going to hear it anywhere else but right here on Rock Splitting Politics. Now, let me also tell you, we got more than just the Israel-Hamas syndrome to tell you about. One of the things we want to get to in today's show is we definitely got to talk some about the impeachment. Impeachment of who? Well, impeachment of President Barack Obama. Is it going to go forward? Who's talking about it? The Democrats or Republicans? Who is talking about impeaching our president? Got something very important to tell you about that. And I'll tell you about next week's show, as we will do an interview with someone who says Obama has been very good for America. I'm going to have him on my show next week. I'll tell you more about it in that segment. Now, before we get started, I've got to tell you one story about last week that got put under the bottom of the barrel on most networks, but it's very important, and we're going to start off with that right here. First, let's play a little music. Take a listen to this. That's right, the theme from Mission Impossible. Why would I play something from the theme Mission Impossible? Well, is it impossible to get anything to stick to this president? A scandal that will actually stick to him and bring down some of the truth that we need out there? Well, the Democrats, believe it or not, there's some Democrats upset about a part of the administration that this president runs. What happened last week that was sort of snowed under all the papers and all the news outlets? Did you hear this? Did you hear about the CIA director, John Brennan, what he did last week? Do you remember? Well, he apologized. Why did our CIA director apologize? Well, because, you know, the National Security Agency, they get all kind of attention this past a couple years for the spying techniques. If you don't believe me, just ask the president over in Germany. Just see how she feels about the spying techniques of the United States. But it's not just her, it's others. And it seems like wherever there's a lady, is there a war on women? Oh, that's the Republicans supposed to be having a war on women, not the president who spies on the prime minister, the president of Germany, not the president who spies on Senate Intelligence Committee chairwoman, Senator Dianne Feinstein. It's not her, is it? It's not her being, it's not the war on women by this president, is it? President Obama, does he seem to not trust women in leadership? Is that why we spy on them? Well, if you don't remember last week, the CIA Director John Brennan apologized to the Senate Intelligence Committee leaders after his inspector general discovered that they were employees of the Central Intelligence Agency who acted improperly when the CIA searched the Senate computers earlier this year. Now, that came from the Associated Press, and it says the controversy is centered on an investigation of the CIA's interrogation and detention practices after the 9/11 attacks. Had to say dentition. I've been working with teeth all day. But it's the detention practices. But the chairwoman of the committee, get this war on women now, chairwoman of the committee, Dianne Feinstein, talked about spying allegations way back in May, if you don't remember. And it said it's unclear if the Department of Justice will prosecute over the hacking. CIA hackers of the Senate Intelligence Committee, our government spying on our leaders, the executive branch spying on the legislative branch. Is that an uproar? Do you see people crying out for heads to roll? Oh no, I don't see any heads rolling anywhere. Seems like no scandal can bring down this president or make him change players that make major mistakes. Our national security, is it at risk when we spy on our own Senate leaders? Does Harry Reid condemn this? Have you heard a word from Harry Reid? Or is he a puppeteer of the executive branch? Things to ponder. War on women. Why does President Merkel of Germany feel betrayed by the United States government? Why does Dianne Feinstein feel betrayed by the United States government? Hey, it doesn't stop there. Where does the National Security Agency derive power? Who is our national security advisor to the president? Oh, that would be Susan Rice of the Benghazi untruth claim. Remember in Benghazi, and they said it was a video? Who came out to tell us, oh, it was a video that caused the embassy to be overrun in Libya and our ambassador murdered? Who came out and did not tell the truth to the American people? Do we have a war on women? Does President Barack Obama really believe that he controls women? If he can't control them, he'll spy on them? I put it out there. You put the dots together. Talk about putting dots together. We got to talk some what I was telling you earlier in the show. It's time to talk about impeachment, putting the dots together. Now, where have you heard impeachment? Right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Has anybody said the word impeachment? Well, we've talked about it in the past. We talked about lawlessness. We've talked about the President Barack Obama, that is making rules and making laws that only Congress is given constitutional right to make laws. But should we look at impeachment? Well, I think the Republican leadership has concluded that though laws are being made and that the executive branch is not supposed to do that, they have concluded it would not be the right time to impeach this president for high crimes and misdemeanors. And guess what? The White House is talking about the Republicans want to impeach the president. And why? Well, that is because they found out when they start talking about the Democrats, when they start talking about the president being impeached, all of a sudden it riles up their base and they can make money. They can raise money. Great fundraising letters to say, your president you voted for in 2008 and 2012 is going to be impeached by the Republicans. We need to save this presidency. Get behind us. Send us in some money. Well, guess what? It's raking in millions of dollars for the Democrats. So you can expect the rumblings about impeachment, but it's not going to be coming from the Republicans. It's coming from the Democrats to make money and to empower and to make the base voters of the Democratic Party rise up and get involved in these midterm elections. So rock-splitting politics has some crazy, crazy bedfellows. When you start talking about impeachment, you think, well, the far right is just, they're going to push for impeachment. And there are some that would love to see the president impeached. But what good does impeachment do if he has to be tried in the Senate? Remember, you can impeach a president, a judge, or impeachment comes in the House of Representatives, but the trial comes in the United States Senate. Can you see Harry Reid pushing through to remove the president? So why go through that? Well, the reason I'm talking about impeachment, because next week, I want you to know, we got a special guest. I mentioned it last week that we would try to get him on the show. There's a good personal friend of mine, and he has been a Barack Obama supporter in 2008 and 2012. He's African-American. He's very prominent in the ministry field. He has a denomination that has churches in several states. And he's going to be on our show next week. I'm not going to debate, but I'm going to have a good friend to tell you, my listeners, some things we've talked about over the years. But he gives us a perspective. Sometimes I get upset talking about the policies of President Barack Obama. And I've tried to distinguish between the policies and the personal Barack Obama. I don't want anyone to feel that I say anything about President Barack Obama because of the color of his skin. And I think my friend, who is African-American and very much into progressive Democratic policies, but he wants what's good for America. Now, when we talk, I always like to think maybe someday I can convince him what's good for America is limited government and the policies more in line with the Republican Party. And I'm sure he wants me to think the policies of the Democratic Party are. But he is going to be coming on next week's show, not to debate, but I want you to hear his heart. Because if you want to understand America, if you want to understand why Barack Obama was not only elected but reelected, you need to know how his core supporters feel. And this is why you need to really think twice. Some of my listeners and some of you talked to me, emailed me, and talked about how you want President Barack Obama impeached, and it's become a personal burning issue. But you need to hear the heart of someone who is a Barack Obama supporter. And some people say, well, the Republicans in leadership, John Boehner, they won't ever impeach the president because they're just weak-kneed and they don't understand. Well, they do understand a lot. And I'm not here trying to back up Speaker of the House Boehner, but I am here to tell you, we live in America. And one thing my friends in the Tea Party, my friends in other places, everybody wants control. But to get control, you've got to build consensus. Democrats have been doing it for decades. They will divide us and polarize us by building groups together. And that's how they get their voters. You need to understand a hardcore Barack Obama supporter. He's going to be on my show next week. And you can hear his heart. And you can understand better what America is made of, how Barack Obama got reelected, and some of you may just turn it off. Don't do it, because you need to hear it. You need to hear the whole show, and you need to listen to my friend's heart. as he speaks of why he says Barack Obama is good for America. So be sure you're listening next week. And now we're about to get into the Israel-Hamas war. We're going to talk about it. Before we do, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on www.webtalkradio.net. Many great shows, and we want you to continue to listen, but not only listen, tell your friends and neighbors, and email your friends even across the sea. We, like I told you, we got a lot of international listeners now, and we appreciate you that listen to us around the world to better understand what's going on, not only in America, but as we talk about American policy and how it affects places like the Middle East, how it affects the nation of Israel, and even in the war that's going on now between Israel and Gaza. So what we say here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you're not going to hear everywhere else. Just like next week, my friend is going to tell us why he believes President Barack Obama has been very good for America. You need to hear that, because you're not going to hear it on other perspectives, not on conservative talk radio. This is a show you don't want to miss next week. And I want to remind our friends, you can get my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order it by going to the front page there, click on my website, you can order the book. And not only that, if you, and for our international friends, you can order it at Amazon. Anybody can order it at Amazon.com. Just look under Rock Splitting Politics, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we do ship in the United States. But if you're outside the United States and want the book, go through Amazon.com. Now, how do you get into this Israel versus Hamas? Well, I think first we got to take just a second, take a break, sit back, listen to a little bit of music here, and then we're going to dive right into what you need to know about Israel versus Hamas. For those who don't recognize it, a theme song from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, let me just remind you, as we bring this part of the program together, there are a lot of emotions on all sides, but I need to remind you, like I did last week, that the missiles were shot from Gaza. Hamas is the government entity that is in control of Gaza. For you don't remember, we talked about it last week, under George W. Bush's leadership, we asked for Gaza to elect leaders, and he pushed for elections. Fatah was in charge of the West Bank and Gaza, the Palestinians there. George W. Bush's administration pushed for freedom and elections, and the people voted for Hamas, a terrorist organization, to be their leaders. Now, why would they do that? Because for years, Hamas had provided schools, built schools, provided food in poverty. They gave people things that they needed to live. So Hamas, and that's why we had our minority leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi, saying that she believed Hamas was a humanitarian organization. Well, is it a humanitarian organization? We want to play a clip from Masab Hassan Youssef. Now, who is he? Well, he's a young man who was raised under one of the leaders. His dad was one of the leaders, one of the founders of Hamas. And he has some things to tell us. Let me just let you hear this clip from him, and we'll go from there. Take a listen to this.
We have to face the reality with courage before it's too late. Do Arabs hate Israel because of political reasons or because of ideological reasons? Is it a political conflict or a racial conflict? When I see and listen to the media here in the West, I start to forget where I'm coming from. I know the language, I know the people, I know the mentality, I know everything about that culture of death. And I start to believe the lie that this is just a minor problem. I'm here today to say that the ideological dimension of the Middle East conflict is the most important dimension. And we, as free people, have to take this in consideration. This is my message, and this is my responsibility.
Now, that was Mr. Yusuf speaking to a friendly group of Jews and people who do love Israel. But he was talking about it as being his responsibility as people of freedom to let people understand where Hamas is coming from and why Hamas believes the way they do. It was better put in after this conflict that started just recently. They had him, Mr. Yusuf, on CNN. And take a listen to what he said on CNN just last week.
You know, your father was a founding member of Hamas, and you were groomed to take a leadership position. Eventually, you converted to Christianity, rejected their political and military objectives. Why did you do that?
Well, for the simple reasons that we see right now in Gaza, that Hamas does not care about the lives of Palestinians, does not care about the lives of Israelis or Americans. Mm-hmm. They don't care about their own lives. They consider dying for the sake of their ideology a way of worship. Mm-hmm. And how can you continue in that society?
Okay. I'll ask you the same question I asked my last guest. Can you coexist with someone whose mission is your destruction?
Well, Hamas is not seeking coexistence and compromise. Hamas is seeking conquest and taking over. And by the way, Israel, the destruction of the state of Israel is not Hamas' final destination. Mm-hmm. Hamas' final destination is building the Islamic Khilafah, which means an Islamic state on the rubble of every other civilization. These are the ultimate goals of the movement.
Musab, you say in your book that Hamas targets civilians as a tool of war. Tell us about the Hamas that you know from growing up in the West Bank.
Well, in the mosques, Hamas taught us that without shedding innocent blood for the sake of the ideology, we wouldn't be able to build an Islamic state. They were preparing us from the age as young as 5 years old. This is the ideology that Hamas was feeding us. And honestly, it's impossible almost for anybody to break through and see the truth of and real face of Hamas and be able to leave at some point. As you see in my case, I had to lose everything just to say no to Hamas. And today, when I look at the children of Gaza, and I know what they are fed, I know that they have no choice.
And again, that's Musab Yusuf. And is it not scary what he tells you about, again, Hamas and the way they start brainwashing the children at such a young age, under five really, to want to die. And it's almost a form of worship. Did you hear what Musab said? And here we are in the West, and especially in the United States of America, and we see images, and we see people being killed by bombs, especially the civilians in Gaza, and it tears out our heart. And yet, where were these same people? And again, it tears my heart to see the images and know that people and innocents are dying in Gaza. But when Hamas has trained many, and I guess all the leaders of Hamas, to accept death as a form of worship, how do you get people out of that mentality? And like Mr. Yusuf said, he was one of the rare ones to come out of this. And he had to give up everything to come out of it. His family has cut him off and have disowned him. We have to, here in America, deal with the reality that Hamas is not a humanitarian organization, unlike what Nancy Pelosi said last week. And why can't we get our grasp around this? It's hard to, because we can't understand being brainwashed since a young age. And to understand Hamas, we told you about its founding and the founding statements saying to destroy the state of Israel, to kill people who would be in a way that would keep the destruction of Israel from happening. And it is a very, very much a culture of death. So what is America supposed to do? What are our leaders? And look at the State Department. Let's see, what did Hillary Clinton say about Hamas?
This is something, I'm not a military planner, but Hamas puts its missiles, its rockets in civilian areas. Part of it is that Gaza is pretty small and it's very densely populated. They put their command and control of Hamas military leaders in those civilian areas. Israel, I know, has sent warnings and tried to get people to move. But in any kind of conflict, there are going to be civilian casualties, and we need to try to get to a ceasefire as soon as possible.
And just why do we need to get us to a ceasefire as soon as possible? Yes, we hate to see the pictures of innocent children dead, dying, and injured by these bombs. How many more times will this play out? Every 3 or 4 years, every 4 or 5 years, when the Israeli Defense Force, IDF, has to go in to Gaza and clean out where the missiles are being shot to kill innocent Israelis and disrupt their lives and to kill the economy and to kill children in schools of Israel. Why did they shoot missiles when schools let out? Because that's the most vulnerable time for the children of Israel. And what I'm bringing this out is this. Israel said if we go in, we're going to clean out what Hamas is doing. They want to take out Hamas leadership. Are there any new elections? Well, not as long as Hamas voted once and they got in charge. Have you heard about any more elections? Well, that's what happens in places that don't understand Republican form of government, as a Republican in a little R, talking about how do you vote in democracy. Well, Hamas won the election and they're not going to give up power. But the leaders, make sure the leaders of Israel, Netanyahu, is talking about the tunnels they've discovered. Many, many tunnels. That sophisticated tunnels. And I asked the question, is the United States taxpayer funding these tunnels? Every time there's been destruction in Gaza, America has come to give hundreds of millions of dollars to help rebuild. Does the poverty rate diminish when we pump in hundreds of millions of dollars? We just gave $600 million last summer. I've talked about it on the show, just for the Palestinians to come to the negotiating table with the failed talks that Secretary of State Kerry did. We gave them money just to come to the table. And they didn't stay there very long, but they did get the check for $600 million. Where does that money go? Does it help build these tunnels, or does it feed people? Does it build schools, or does it build the missile launchers that go into the schools? These are things that we ought to be asking questions. We ought to be seeing where this money's going. But I bring out the point that these tunnels are built to go for Palestinian terrorists, Hamas can send terrorists through these tunnels underneath the security borders with Israel, and they can send terrorists in to kill and disrupt Israeli way of life. So while they're in Gaza, as everybody calls for a ceasefire, there's Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is saying, we are going to destroy what Hamas has built to kill Israelis. And that's why ceasefire. Everybody saying ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. But if you stop it too soon, are you just going to cause the bubble to keep rising up? If you're going to clear out the infection, clear it out. If you just close up the wound with infection in it, you're going to see a worse case of infection. So these are things that the Israeli leadership is going through. and the world press is not reporting as well. And we hear, like Hillary Clinton just said, we know they put these weapon systems because it's such a small place. Gaza is small, but look, there's places that are empty that all the military weapons could go into. Of course, they don't put them there because they don't care about human life. We just heard Mr. Yusuf say they've been taught to die in the battle against Israel is a form of worship to their God. So how do you change that mentality? And one of the things that we don't hear is how President Obama's team, led by Secretary of State Kerry now, is going through different means to get to a ceasefire instead of using the Egyptians, who have for years been a go-between and helped negotiate peace deals. This president is using his Secretary of State to work with Turkey and Qatar. And why? Because they're Islamic regimes, the Islamists. Now, I'm talking about those who want to use the Quran as the government, the Constitution. And what we have noticed, and if you look at this president, if you remember back when he's first elected, the people of Iran try to overthrow the Islamic leadership of that country. But President Barack Obama would not back the freedom lovers. And what we have seen over the years, the moderate Arab Muslim states have been backed for decades by American presidents. We've stayed away from the Islamists, jihadists, the hardcore, those who hate America and want to kill America. We've stayed away from those form of governments, and yet this president has chosen to turn his back and not work with the longtime leaders that America has worked with. Is this something new? It is. If you see a pro-Islamist, jihadist, Quran, Constitution, Quran for the Constitution type leaders, this is who the president chooses to work with. He much rather work with Morsi when he was part of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt before he got thrown out than he wants to work with the leadership of Egypt now. What happened in Libya? Well, Gaddafi, as bad as he was, a known terrorist, had turned around and given up a nuclear ambition for nuclear weapons. He was working with the West against terrorists, and this president helped bring down Gaddafi. And is Libya better off now? I think the president, if you see where the Muslim Brotherhood, you see the president making connections to anywhere where there's Muslim Brotherhood, and that's the difference between this administration and all the presidents before him during the modern age. Now that leads us right into the segment about what does the Hamas-Israel battle have to do in the overall picture of the Middle East and Iran's nuclear ambitions? Does anybody think for a moment that Netanyahu has not forgotten about how one bomb from an enemy like Iran could blow the entire country of Israel away right off the map? Do you think he's not thinking? Do you think there's not enough reserves in the Israeli Defense Force to take care of what's going on in Iran? Do you think President Barack Obama is leading from behind in such a way that it's given way for Netanyahu to make, in the midst of the Hamas and the Israeli war going on now in Gaza, and in the midst of, on the other side of Israel, Syria and the civil war with ISIS, we've talked about that in other shows, taking over big paths of land, parts of swaths of land in Syria and Iraq, controlling that with many weapons from captured military bases. And do you not think that Netanyahu could very well launch an attack against Iran during this time of crisis? And would World War III be near? What about Russia? What role would they play? Whose aid would they come to? And what about America? That's why you need to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. That's why you need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So what we finish up today's show with this. There's a quagmire in our Secretary of State's office, in the State Department, in this administration when it concerns finding real peace, because I don't think they understand the real problem of the Middle East, like Mr. Yusuf just told us. We will continue looking at this and continue searching for solutions as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, next week, how about peace in America? Find out why my friend says Barack Obama has been good for America. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.